We read scripture this morning from Exodus chapter 12. Our text is taken from Hebrews 11, verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We have the historical account of that here in Exodus chapter 12. We'll read the first 30 verses of the chapter. We hear the inspired, infallible word of our God. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month, at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitation shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at that door of this of his house until the morning. For the Lord shall pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. We read God's word that far. May God bless his word to our hearts. As stated, we take as our text verse 28 of Hebrews 11. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, we come in this passage to the final comments in Hebrews 11 made regarding Moses' life. God highlights the grand events of Moses' life that displayed evidence of the power of faith. And the final expression of that faith in Moses is seen in the verse here that references the first Passover feast. The first Passover feast was one of the most remarkable feasts that the children of Israel had ever and ever would celebrate. After God sent 9 mighty wonders, the plagues, he was now ready for the 10th, to deliver Israel in a most remarkable manner. And so remarkable to see that was that, as we noted there in Exodus 12, it changed the calendar of the Israelites, so that from now on, going forward, this month would be the first month of their calendar year. This was a picture of the fact that this was a new beginning for Israel. They would be delivered from bondage and they would begin their journey to the land of Canaan. By faith, he observed, he kept. The word keep there better would be understood as observed. And we understand the idea there. He did everything that God told him was necessary. God, not Moses, instituted the feast. And God gave careful instructions to Moses as to what precisely was to be done. How they were to eat the food, how they were to be dressed to partake. Every aspect and every detail was carefully laid out. Moses then, with the people, observed the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. They sacrificed the lambs and the kids. They prepared all the food according to the appointment of Jehovah God. They took the blood. They took their hyssop and they put it on the lintel and the side posts of their door. This event was given the name Passover because Jehovah, as the angel of death, would visit every home in Egypt. And he would pass over the houses on which there was blood. Now God made this feast one of tremendous comfort for the people of God. The lesson that the people learned was this: you are covered with the blood. And as those who are covered by the blood, you will not die, but you will live. The lesson the people learned was that they were covered by a substitute. And therefore the destroyer would kill others, but he would pass them over. The Israelites would find refuge under the blood of the Lamb. Beloved, that same truth is your and my comfort today. The destroyer, as the angel of death, will visit all men. But we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we look at that comfort this morning. Moses observing the Passover. Noting, first of all, the meaning. What did the Passover all entail? Secondly, the reason. By faith. And finally, the fruit. Through faith, he kept the Passover, we read. The people of God had been in the land of Egypt now for over 400 years since Joseph had moved his father and his brothers into the land. You remember a new Pharaoh arose that didn't know Joseph, and the result was tremendous bondage and hardship for the people of God. As they found themselves in Egypt, that hardship intensified when Pharaoh realized that they were a force to be contended with and he desired to destroy them. And even your children remember the attempts that he made. He first told them that they had to throw their baby boys into the Nile River. They didn't obey. Soldiers then were roaming the land to try to find and to execute those orders. Remember, the midwives refused to comply to the wicked leader's orders. But through all of this, hardship, turmoil, hard labor was imposed upon them. And it seemed as though deliverance was long in coming. Moses had waited 40 years, trained in the courts of Pharaoh, and he was eager now to do something. But God was not yet ready. And God knew Moses was not yet ready, nor were the people. And therefore, the previous words here in Hebrews 11 refer to Moses making that choice of faith to stand with the Israelites over against the Egyptians, and as a result then, had to flee, was no longer welcome in Egypt. God had to prepare him, not only, but God had to further prepare Israel for the place that they would occupy. Now we can relate to a degree again. We walk by faith, we do what's right, and yet sometimes it seems as though God's faithfulness is not evident. Moses thought he was doing what was right. He thought surely God would now utilize him to deliver Israel. But then Moses finds himself fleeing to the land of Midian. Hard time sometimes to see God's faithfulness, to see the purpose, the reason for all that God is doing. I'm a child of God. I seek to walk by faith. And yet it seems as though God is not caring, doesn't respond. Where are His promises? Where is the hope? And what a temptation it is then to reject God, to revolt against His will. God now, after 40 years in Midian, brings Moses back to Pharaoh. And God now is ready and has prepared Moses to be humble as a leader to bring about the deliverance in God's time and in God's way. So God had called Moses for 40 years in the courts of Pharaoh. Then another 40 years as a shepherd in Midian. And now after bringing him back to Egypt with Aaron, his spokesman, coming to Pharaoh repeatedly and telling Pharaoh, "Let my people go." God had brought 9 terrible plagues upon the land. And now God tells Israel, prepare for the last, the final plague, which is going to open the way for your deliverance. A conservative estimate at this time is that Israel had grown from 70 souls coming into the land of Egypt to 2 million, if not 5 or 6 million. So that Israel numbered a significant host by this time. They were instructed now to take a lamb without blemish. It could have no fault found on it. And they were to take that lamb out of the flock on the 10th day, set it apart for 4 days while they prepared it for slaughter. The lamb then was to be prepared in a very special way, as we read. It had to remain whole. No bones could be broken of it. They were to take then its blood into a basin, take a bunch of hyssop, which would be like a simple paintbrush, dip it into the blood, and they were to put it on the side posts of the door and above the door on the mantle. They were to cook that lamb. They were to prepare unleavened bread to go with it, along with bitter herbs. And the whole lamb had to be eaten. And as we read, if they didn't have enough in their household to eat the whole lamb, they were to solicit others from a neighboring household so that they could join them, so that everything would be consumed. They had to stand while they ate. Unique, they had to have their shoes on within the house. That was unusual. Generally, they would keep their shoes off while they were in the home. They had to have their loins girt so that their loins were tucked into their belt, and they were prepared then immediately to rush out of Egypt at the time when God would appoint. What an exciting evening it had to have been for the Israelites. And imagine all the questions of the children as they were making the preparation and as they were going through all that which God required. What was this for? Why were they doing all of this? This was the first Passover. And what an evening it was. Soon night fell, and the Israelites spent an anxious evening waiting for that command as it would come from God. And suddenly all the firstborn, man and beast, were dead. Not one household in Egypt spared death, with the exception of the Israelites, whose doors were covered by blood. The angel of death came through and destroyed. That's the language that's used here in Hebrews 11. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. That destroyer went through the whole land of Egypt, killed the firstborn of every home, from the sons and daughters of Pharaoh to the humblest abode in Egypt. The firstborn of every home that was not covered with blood. What a night of terror it was for the Egyptians. Not only because they realized that there was death in their homes, but then when they went outside, they found out that every home had been experiencing the same event as they. And a great cry, we read, rises up in Egypt. What is the significance of the firstborn? The firstborn represented the strength of Egypt. It represented Egypt's future, her manhood, her vitality. And now the angel of the Lord destroys the strength of Egypt, destroys the future of Egypt. And Pharaoh cries out finally, with urgency, "Go! Get out!" And you remember then that the Egyptians gave gifts. They could not see the Israelites, could not wait to see them go fast enough, showering them with all kinds of gifts. Symbolically, that evening, Egypt was killed. And the curse of God was displayed upon Egypt. The consuming anger and wrath of God had been seen through all of the plagues, and now culminating in this event now through the 10th plague. For Israel, however, this was not a night of terror. This was a night of excitement. This was a night of wonder. The people of God were safe under the blood of the Lamb, protected by the marvelous and wondrous grace of Jehovah God. Now, what did the keeping of the Passover involve? We can say at least three things. First of all, the keeping of the Passover involved this. Moses and Israel were confessing their sins before God. They confessed their sin and guilt by the keeping of the Passover. By killing the lamb, they were saying, "We deserve what the Egyptians are going to receive. We're sinners. Sin demands death. And therefore, the lamb has to die. But we deserve to die." And they deserve that death, that destruction, because of their sin, because of their sinfulness. They were no better than the Egyptians. They deserved to be touched as well. It's the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. This was God's doing alone that spared them. Apart from the blood on the door, they were no different from the Egyptians by nature. Sinners, depraved, deserving of death and God's wrath. Israel could not think that the reason she was spared was because of anything of herself. The only difference between them and the Egyptians at this point was that covering of blood. This was a continual confession of sin that God demanded then of Israel. So every year they were to keep the Passover. And as they observed the Passover, they were acknowledging then their sinfulness and the fact that they deserved to die. Not only did they confess that when they made the regular sacrifices, but with the Passover feast especially. That was central and in the foreground. We are sinners. We are guilty. But secondly, they were also confessing a marvelous wonder of grace. We have a covering for our sin. Though we deserve to be destroyed, though we deserve to die, we will not be destroyed because we have a covering. Now you remember, God taught them that need for a covering very early on, already immediately after the fall. After Adam and Eve had fell into sin, God immediately intervened. And He took animals. He killed them. He took their skins and He covered them. Adam and Eve knew the blood of an innocent one had to be shed in order that our sins and our sinfulness would be covered. And they taught their sons the importance then of sacrifice. The innocent one dying in the place of the guilty. And Abel knew that the sacrifice that God delighted in was a bloody sacrifice over against Cain, who refused to bring that offering of blood before God. Blood was necessary. And blood was necessary because there had to be one who died, who shed blood in their place. God's word was clear. The day that thou eatest thereof, that is of that forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. God's justice demanded payment for sin. And now that blood that was shed as the substitute was shed in their place. No one could miss then what was going on. They didn't just take that blood, but they had to spread that blood on the door of their house. And God taught them then in a very plain way, you are spared and you are passed over only because there is a covering for your sins. The covering of the innocent blood of the Lamb. This is even the manner in which God describes the event. The destroyer won't enter into your house, God said in verse 13 and verse 23, because he will see the blood. The blood is that which keeps the destroyer out. And our text here in Hebrews 11 makes clear, it was because of the Passover and the sprinkling of blood that the destroyer did not touch them. But thirdly, they confessed in this way that the reason why there was a covering was the everlasting love of Jehovah God. From all eternity, Jehovah God loved them and chose them as a peculiar people to show forth His praise. The Passover taught them the truth of election and reprobation. The people of God were saved. The Egyptians were destroyed. Now God already had established throughout the plagues that distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians. He showed it especially in the second group of plagues, where God demonstrated that these plagues are not going to come upon the Israelites. They're going to be limited only to the Egyptians. And God showed, I am working for the salvation, the deliverance of those who are the object of my love. And I will use the destruction of the wicked in order to save and to deliver those who are my own. So that God sent the flies, He sent the murrain, He sent the boils, only on the Egyptians, the people of God untouched. Exodus 11 verse 7 states, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. God is the one that put a difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And the difference is, one is saved, the other is destroyed. A difference not because of anything of themselves, nothing that had attracted the Israelites to God, nothing that had made themselves worthy, but Jehovah God Himself had made that difference and was drawn to them. He set them apart from all eternity. And He set His love on Israel while He hated Egypt. Beloved, this is the explanation as to why there was a covering for Israel at all. The wonder of eternal election is the only difference. God chose to Himself a people in Christ and would cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. This confession was necessary for them to know comfort. As they heard the cries, the fears of the Egyptians, they had to know the only reason why they were not screaming out in terror was because of the love of God in Jesus Christ. The only explanation for God's favor was God's unconditional, everlasting love. It was nothing of themselves. It was all of His grace. And God showed that by giving them faith. Secondly, we look at the reason. Why did Moses observe the Passover? By faith. As one would look at it with our earthly eyes, it would seem to be that there were all kinds of difficulties in what God was telling them to do. It seemed like the result would simply be they would go out of Egypt and they'd be thrust out by the Egyptians. Why not go now? Why not go quickly? Why not go secretly before the Egyptians would realize what was going on? They had already been slaves for many, many years. This was the only life they knew. And now God's command is, eat this meal, spread some blood on your doorpost, in the middle of the night, you're going to be free. They had been asking Pharaoh for years, let my people go. Pharaoh had repeatedly refused. He had hardened his heart. How now is this going to make a difference? How is some blood on the doorpost going to enable them to flee Egypt and to be delivered? This seems strange, impossible. And then, how would some blood on the doorpost save them from the destroyer? If a destroyer was coming past their house, why trust mere blood? Why not get out now, before that destroyer comes around? Why not flee the land? Now, likely there were Israelites who did not put the blood on the doorpost. They were not walking by faith. Just a little blood smeared on a doorpost, is that really going to help us? Is that really going to deliver and save us? We can understand, beloved, this was a matter of faith. By faith, they laid hold upon the Word of God. And by faith, they believed it. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. By faith, Moses believed that that sprinkling of blood would do what God said. It would bring about the deliverance of Israel. There was no reason based on anything that he had previously experienced. Nothing like this had ever happened before. Again, if Moses had just looked by sight at the things that he knew and understood, he would have not been inclined to obey this word of God. But by faith, he believed that the sprinkling of blood would serve as the salvation of Israel. He only had the promise. Jesus had not yet come. Christ would be the perfect Lamb of God who would atone for the sins of all of God's elect. He believed that promise of Christ, as verse 23 expresses. He believed the Word of God, and he had a faith which was yet unseen, for which he hoped. A faith that did not disappoint. The angel of death did not come into the homes covered by the blood of the Lamb. When God gave the instruction, Moses listened by faith. He obeyed, and then he taught the people. And by faith, the people responded. That faith, nothing of themselves, a gift from God, by which God preserved His elect and gave to them what they needed in order to know the joy and wonder of that deliverance. Faith was the power that enabled Moses to see Christ in the Passover. That's striking in Hebrews 11, We read in verse 26 that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. When he looked at the blood, he saw his Lord. Now he saw him in shadow, he saw him in type. But Moses saw Christ because faith lays hold upon Jesus Christ. And he saw the fulfillment of the Passover. He didn't just see the lamb, he didn't just see the blood. Everything of the Passover pointed ahead to the one who would be his representative, who would stand in his place and would accomplish that marvelous deliverance. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. The liberator, the one who frees, is Jesus Christ. He alone is able to free from sin and deliver us. And God's stamp of approval is upon His people only through Jesus Christ, by whom they are covered, by whom they are delivered. The burden of sin, the burden of guilt, shame rolled away through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we face hardships, we face trials in life, we know that we are precious in God's sight, that we are free from the tyranny and the shackles of sin, that we've been washed through the blood of Jesus Christ and are delivered by grace alone. That's the celebration of the gospel. That's the message that we need to hear Sunday after Sunday. That's the message set forth in the sacraments of baptism, the Lord's Supper. Jehovah has provided a substitute. And through that substitute, we are able to know that we will not die, but we will live. We struggle at times to be content with our lot in life. We struggle to see the benefit, the fruit of that walk of obedience that God calls us to. Questions arise sometimes regarding God's faithfulness. Sacrifices are made. It seems as though more is just required of us. But by faith, we rejoice in the cross of Christ, and we take our refuge in the blood of the Lamb. That's why the Lamb had to be without blemish. It couldn't have any kind of ailment or weakness because it was a picture of the perfect, sinless Son of God. That Lamb had to be set apart for a few days as a picture of Jehovah God setting the Lamb apart as a sacrifice for sin. By faith, they sprinkled the blood, and the destroyer was kept out of their homes. We know the blood of a lamb itself is not going to keep the destroyer out. The blood of Jesus Christ alone was able to keep the destroyer away. And the whole of the Passover then pointed to the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God in our place. Once Christ came, there's no more need for the bloody Passover. Jesus has covered us with His blood. The fact that the Passover is completely fulfilled in Christ means that the whole grand truth that's set forth at the Passover is relevant for us today. It's that which has been fulfilled. So everything that it meant for the Old Testament Israelites, it means for us in the New Testament church. We are also guilty sinners. We confess our sins before God. We are no different than the wicked world around us. But God covers us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Just as Israel had a covering of blood, and they knew by faith that that covering was sure, so we, by faith, confess we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And just as Israel confessed, the only reason is God's sovereign, unconditional love. So we stand humble before God. Why is it that I am covered? Why is it that I will not die but live? There's only one explanation. The marvelous, unconditional love of God for me in Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy. I've done nothing to deserve it. And to all eternity, I'll be humbled by that glorious truth. That Jehovah God looked upon me in mercy, and that He chose me and set His love upon me. Just as Israel confessed the wonder of God's everlasting love alone, so we confess that marvelous, wondrous love of God in Jesus Christ alone. There's comfort then, beloved, for us God leads us through heavy trials. He leads us through afflictions and through hardships. God brings us sometimes so that we're very low and we're tempted to think that the destroyer is coming after us. That God has identified our sins. He's identified our weaknesses, and we're being punished now as a result of all the things that we've done. Affliction comes our way. There's consequences because of our sin. And we experience loss. We experience hardship. We experience death. There's cancer. There's the breaking down of our earthly bodies. And what's our temptation? We're inclined sometimes to begin to doubt, to begin to question God's Word and God's promises. We focus on what we can see and we focus on what we can experience. And it seems as though God has forgotten to be kind. God has cast me off. We relate to the psalmist in Psalm 77. I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Verse 3. Verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Verse 8. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Verse 9. There are times in our lives when fears and struggles begin to take hold of us and begin to spiral us down into despair, hopelessness. The truth of the Passover, beloved, is the truth of the cross. And that's the truth that we lay hold on by faith. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. Jehovah God has covered me. And that covering is my comfort. It's my hope. It's my joy. All the hardships, all the troubles that I experience are not motivated by wrath. God is not coming in anger. He loves me. He loves me from all eternity. He's forgiven me. And He's the one who will preserve and keep me by His grace and by His mercy. He bore on the cross the wrath that I deserve for all my sins. And the result? I'm covered. I'm forgiven. There is therefore now no condemnation. All the hardships, all the difficulties, not punishment, chastisement, God's love, preserving and keeping us as He bore all that wrath for my sin in His own Son, Jesus Christ. The explanation for my trials and my afflictions and yours doesn't start with wrath. It doesn't start with anger. It has its origin in the love of God, in Jesus Christ. In His love, He chose to Himself a people. In His love, He planned every incident and every event associated in their lives so that even though we can't understand, even though we can't see or fathom, by faith, we lay hold on the wonder that all of this is for my good. It's for my salvation. And in His love, He's teaching me things that I could never learn in any other way. Lessons necessary for me. Moses had to learn in difficult ways. I need to learn in difficult ways. He's showing me that the earthly tabernacle of this body needs to be broken down. It needs to deteriorate. He's leading me to understand and to see more fully the fact that that inner man is being built up and strengthened so that I look away from myself and I look to the glory and the wonder of heaven. Heavenly glory. By faith we lay hold on His Word. We lay hold on His promises. We trust and we obey. And when we fall into sin, what a comfort to know there is a covering for my sin. A covering that is thorough, that is complete, that can in no way be changed by anything that I do or say. No sin that I've ever committed or ever will commit can stand in the way of that covering. That covering is such that every sin, all my sins, are forgiven. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. The destroyer will not touch me. God looks upon me in mercy and in love. And beloved, what a comfort in the face of death. Even death is no longer the destroyer, but death has changed into the servant of the Lord to usher us into life everlasting. What a wondrous covering is ours in the blood of the Lamb. Again, the one who destroyed the firstborn would not touch the people of God. Spiritually speaking, not a hair of their head was singed by the wrath of God that was seen throughout Egypt. They were saved by this destroyer. Now that's an important thing that we need to see. The destroyer came with his love for Israel and his hatred for the reprobate, for the enemies of the Lord. There was no grace for Egypt. The fact that God did not kill everyone was not an expression of grace, but God merely allowing some of the wicked yet to live in order to continue to use them for His divine purposes. God's wrath today continues upon the Egypt of the world. They boast in their iniquity. They boast in their wickedness. They think they can continue to go forth without any consequences of their sin. There's confusion. There's unrest in the world. They openly persecute and oppress the people of God. They flaunt their sin. They think they can continue without any consequences. The angel of the Lord will administer God's justice, and there's no grace evident toward the wicked. The angel of death will come and destroy all those who live contrary to the will of God and will send them to hell in His time. There's only one way of escape: Jesus Christ and the wonder of the cross. The grace of God is toward His people in Jesus Christ. And beloved, by faith, we lay hold on that wonder. Faith is the power in the life of God's children, moving them to walk and to live out of Christ. Faith is the power by which we look to God and we know the comfort and the peace that passes all understanding. God was bringing His covenant people out of Egypt into Canaan, a type of heaven. They had their shoes on. They ate with haste because they were ready to go into God's promised land. We as God's children are ready and prepared for the glory of heaven. Not because of anything of ourselves, but by a wonder of God's grace, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we come into the wilderness of this life then for a time. But we too look forward to that day when we will be delivered into the heavenly Canaan as those who have been covered. And as we go forward by faith, that faith will not be disappointed. We are pointed to the rock of our salvation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we cling to Christ and we look to Him for all of our salvation. We look around us and we see the angel of death. The angel of death is in this land of ours. He's pouring the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He's not mocked. He's at work among the nations, among the peoples of the world. And as a result, the world is filled with fear. They try to escape that just wrath and judgment of God. But there's no escape other than the blood of the Lamb. And we can tell our children, we are safe. We are safe at home. We're safe in church because we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Persecution is coming, but we're safe because we've been covered with the blood. And He will provide us with everything that we stand in need of. He will care for us in every respect. The angel of death cannot touch us because of the wonder of God's mercy and God's grace. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And by faith, we cling to the cross of Jesus Christ as a covering of our sin. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, what great things Thou hast done for us, Thy undeserving people. Grant that we might ever live in the joy and the wonder that we have been covered with the blood of the Lamb, and that we might go forward as those who have hope, those who do not despair, but those who live by faith, clinging to the wonder of that glorious work accomplished on Calvary, and living in the joy of that everlasting love which Thou hast shown toward us from eternity and will preserve and keep us in to all eternity. Amen.